Okay, here we go. In Heavenly Places, page 269. The title for today is Strength for Today, September 19th. And thank you, Father, for this one. When anything about strength is a good thing to read. So anyway, she says, she starts off here from Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. It says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." And then she says, by trial, the Lord proves the strength of his children. Is the heart strong to bear? Is the conscience void of offense? Does the Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God? This the Lord ascertains by trying us. In the furnace of affliction, he purifies us from all dross. He sends us trials, not to cause needless pain, but to lead us to look to him, to strengthen our endurance, to teach us that if we do not rebel, but put our trust in him, we shall see of his salvation. Amen. And when I think of this, I also think of the trust factor. If she's going to get into this, I don't know, but because sometimes, as we know, the prayer can take years to get answered, and especially if we're praying for someone else that may even be rebelling, for all we know. And so it could take years, but the end result is we shall see his, see of his salvation. And even if the person, let's say, for example, even if the person we pray for doesn't make it to heaven, we see how our prayers for them and our desire to help them has even bettered our walk. Especially if you have someone very close to you that is in need of prayer, be it because they're rebellion or be it they're just sinful, or I'm sorry, sick, then it actually makes you want to be a better Christian. So you can see the Lord's hand there too. And the reason you want to be a better Christian is so that your prayer life is more effective. And but still, you can't think of it that way either, because we all know, but that's just normal, I would think, human response, if you will, to dealing with trials and tribs. But I'm always brought back to the time that Paul, as he's standing out there preaching to the people by the gate, he happens to look across the crowd and he sees some guy in the crowd that he perceives does have the faith to be healed. And so he just tells the guy, "Hey, stand up, you're healed." And he did, and he was. And so a lot of it has to do with the people around us, and a lot of it has to do with the people we pray for, and ourselves, if you got the faith, of course. So she goes on, "Christ's love for his children is as strong as it is tender. It is a love stronger than death, for he died for us. It is a love more true than that of a mother for her children. The mother's love may change, but Christ's love is changeless." Oh, that's beautiful when you think about it that way, because, as you grow older, I know that I saw this in my own upbringing when I was a kid about the way our parents... And then my friends too, when you're a young kid, mommy and daddy are all about hanging out with you and making sure everything's okay and you're having a blast with mommy and daddy. And then when you get older and you're teenagers and stuff like that, it's not so much like they, just get out of the room and leave me alone. It's just not like it used to be. So I can understand what she says. The mother's love may change. I mean, they still love the kid. They don't want anything bad to happen to the kid, but sometimes it's just not as intense as it used to be, say, when they were younger, maybe. I can't really, it's not all, that's why she says the mother's love may change, because some mothers are that way, some dads are that way too, but the thing that's nice is Christ's love is changeless, and so if you think about that pure love that you had when you were a child with your parents, which is already nowhere near the pure love that Christ has for you from day one to all the way up to the last day that you're alive, on earth anyway. His love is changeless. And she says, or she goes on and quotes from the book of Romans. It says, "I am persuaded," Paul says, "that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And of course, that's Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 38-39. And then she goes on to say that in every trial, we have strong consolation. Is not our Savior touched with the feeling of our infirmities? In other words, didn't he walk a mile in our shoes and tempted like in all points like we are, right? And then she says, has he not, well, I should have continued reading, has he not been tempted in all points like as we are? And has he not invited us to take every trial and perplexity to him? Then let us not make ourselves miserable over tomorrow's burdens. Bravely and cheerfully carry the burdens of today. Today's trust and faith we must have, but we are not asked to live more than a day at a time. He who gives strength for today will give strength for tomorrow. And a lot of people have an issue in that area, myself included, when I was younger. And I still do it every now and then. You worry about tomorrow. What if, you know, that kind of. And I think I read it in somewhere, in one of Sister White's writings in regards to her. And I've seen it other places as well. And I've even witnessed it with my own eyes many, 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 many times. Where mankind has a tendency to worry exponentially off the chart in regards to what actually does happen when they experience what they worried about. Like I can remember many a times, because I was in and out of court all the time when I was growing up, you know, tough love kind of thing. I was a hood, punk kind of a guy. And I was always concerned about, okay, what's going to happen at this court date? And I'm worrying about this, worrying about that, worrying about this, worrying about that. And when I finally get there, yeah, it's pretty bad what still happened, but it was nowhere near as bad as I thought. And I was able to handle it. And so, but same thing happens as a Christian. There's a lot of times that I'm concerned for some of the church family, or I'm concerned for some of my kids, or anybody I love. And I overthink sometimes. And it'll get you in trouble, you know, physically. You'll get sick. But the Lord gives you the strength. He doesn't promise you any strength for tomorrow because you don't need it. Tomorrow ain't even here yet. It could change in the twinkling of an eye. Like in a New York minute, as the song goes, right? From the old 1920s or something, that old song, New York minute. But anyway, she finishes up by saying, nothing wounds the soul like the sharp darts of unbelief. When trial comes, as it will, do not worry or complain. Silence in the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. That's why sometimes when I go out for the midday prayer, I don't say nothing. I mean, I'll bring my cell phone, of course, and I might, you know, flip through Psalms or Proverbs or Ecclesiastes or some, or, you know, that's about it. I like to go for direct statements, you know, because if I'm out there in the woods and stuff, you open up the book of John, you might end up reading for an hour and a half before you figure out the entire crux of the matter. And so I like to, sometimes I'll go out there and just be quiet and let him speak. And sometimes just read the word. Like go into John or something like that and expecting to just sit there out there in the woods or whatever, read scripture. Let him do all the talking. And before you know it, yeah, things come to mind and you start, you know, the back and forth begins. So, she, of course, quotes Psalm 107:30 that says, then are they glad because they be quiet. Remember that underneath you are the everlasting arms. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, it says in Psalm 37:7. He is guiding you into a harbor of gracious experience. And every single solitary one of us in this room today can attest to that fact, because all of us have, hindsight is always 20/20. You know, you go through the situation now, and it's like, oh, how am I going to handle this, and whatever, you know. And I mean, there's so many, 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 many times in my life that I've done that. And then when you look back, you realize you were supposed to go through it. It was good what you went through, and it was a blessing that you received because of it. He really is guiding you, you know, with gracious, giving you all these experiences with his grace and how you get through life. I mean, because there's many times that I could think of that when I didn't have any money in my pocket, not even any lint, and all these bills are due. I don't even have a job, don't even have a phone, don't even have a car to get a job. How did I get out of those situations? I try to think back now on how I got out of them and how it all turned around. And it was always something that the Lord just all, you know, just dropped in my lap. I remember one time some guy just came up and gave me a car from this church I was attending. I mean, granted, it was an old beat-up station wagon and stuff like that, but it got me to a job. And so that's all I needed. It worked. So, but I really, unless I go to my praise list that I have in the basement, it's not going to be easy for me to figure out how I got through those situations. Because, I mean, sometimes I feel like I was just totally up against the wall. There's nothing I can. I always had a saying in regards to that time in life. I won't repeat it here because I wasn't a Christian back then. But it was just bad. It was like, there's no way out of this. And a couple, 3 days later, it's like, wow, how did I get through that? And then later, as I was a Christian, I had those experiences to look back on, even though I wasn't walking with him. But then now that I'm a Christian, I'm going, oh, so it was you. You've been there all the time, haven't you? And so, you know, that relationship got even stronger because of that, because I saw his hand in the past, even though I was blind to it. I mean, I always considered myself religious even before I was a Christian, but it was that superstitious kind of religion that the Catholics adhere to, you know, the genuflecting, the sign of the cross, the novenas, all that falderal. But I had a desire in my heart to please him, but at the same time, I had a desire in my heart to please me, too. So, but praise the Lord that he guides all of us with these amazing experiences. I pray you're blessed.